And it is time, as always, on Thursday, to talk to the voice of the KU Jayhawks, Brian Haney, brought to you, as always, by our good friends over at Anderson Insurance Agency in Beloit. And, Brian, we're going to just kind of have a hodgepodge, and I mean that in a good way, of connecting on various KU sports. And we'll start with football, where it wasn't a spring game per se. Score wasn't kept, but it was a spring football showcase for the KU football team. And what stood out to you, man?
Well, certainly it was good to see some of the individual growth and athleticism gains that guys like Jalen Daniels or Luke Graham or some of these household names that we've known for a while, but now with a second full off season of working with Matt Gildersleeve, you can tell their bodies are leaner and stronger. And, you know, they were talking about miles per hour being clocked, running miles per hour at 21 to 22 miles, which is crazy to think. And so some of those guys that you knew what they could do skill set wise, but they're trying to enhance their bodies. You saw a little bit of that on display. We saw some of the newcomers that I spotlighted on last week's report, like Phillips up front on the D-line, J.B. Brown in the linebacking core, Logan Brown and Spencer Lavelle on the offensive line. We saw some of those guys show out a little bit. But like you alluded to, it wasn't a true spring game. We really just saw the ones and twos for the bulk of the first half, which was a running clock, 25-minute scrimmage. And then in the second half, it was largely third, fourth, and fifth string. They didn't keep score. So all three of the Kansas quarterbacks atop the depth charts threw touchdowns, and then Bean and Daniels both threw an interception. But really that's about all there is to report in terms of statistics because they didn't really keep a true box score. But like I said, I think you saw a lot of the physical progress that's been gained by some of the returning players. You saw the immediate impact that some of these instant impact transfer portal guys are going to be able to make, and then we got out of there relatively healthy. I think it's only one, you know, minor injury out of the spring game, which was the main hope getting out of there. So 15 practices in the books. You've been able to stack good days on top of each other and keep getting better and better by the day. And so I think this program is just leaps and bounds better than where we sat 2 years ago when you and I were talking about where does new AD Travis Goff go from here. Now you have a football coach that's one publication just ranked the top 15 coach in the country the other day, and you've got a program that should be preseason top 25. So what a world of difference 2 years can make, and we're just excited because it should only get better and better from here with the type of continuity that we're bringing back, both in the locker room with players, but especially with the coaches, the type of coaching continuity we've not had since early in the Mangino era. So it's a pretty exciting time to be a KU football fan.
Yeah, many positives for KU athletics, certainly here in the last season. The baseball team, I know they're 15-15 overall, but they won 7 in a row recently, took 2 out of 3 against the top 25 team in West Virginia. So good things happening with the baseball program, too.
Yeah, Dan Fitzgerald's a stud. We just debuted our Hawk Talk with Dan Fitzgerald earlier this week, and I encourage KU fans and your listening audience, if they could ever make it down to Lawrence for one of those Monday nights. We do them every other Monday at the 23rd Street Brewery. He is such an engaging personality. He's so genuine. You can see why he was a tremendous recruiter at Dallas Baptist and LSU. And heck, man, I was with him on Easter Sunday out in Morgantown, and on top of writing the lineup card, he also gave the Sunday message for Easter Sunday at the optional team chapel. So this is a multi-talented guy that just has layers and layers of depth to his personality and his character. And I think we could not be in better hands, quite frankly, being around him more and more. So the team, you know, they went through some rough spots there early. And like I told you, you know, it's such a big overhaul that it's hard to know what to expect wins and losses-wise this season. But to win 7 of 8 in the last 2 weeks prior to Sunday's loss, it actually had vaulted them into a first-place tie with Texas in the Big 12 standings. This is after going 0-3 in their Big 12 opening series at TCU and getting boat raced in a couple of those games. So the resilience that they showed to bounce back and perform as well as they did was really, really impressive. And I think, you know, with so many new faces and new parts kind of mixing in here, it probably is one of those things where it's hard to handicap just what to expect these last, you know, 6 weeks or so, because if what we saw versus Baylor and West Virginia is indicative of what they can be more nights than not, they can hang with most Big 12 teams. And the conference is more wide open this year than it's been any other season. So in 2 weeks' time, we go from thinking, well, it'd be nice if we made the Big 12 tournament, but realistically, you know, let's not hold them to that with such a big rebuilding year, to now thinking, gosh, they're in the top half of the standings. We'd like a nice seed in the Big 12 tournament. Yeah. So it's amazing how quickly the perspective can change. But I think, you know, nothing's changed drastically in their approach. They're just getting used to each other. They're settling in, and they're being more disciplined at the plate in attacking the scouting report to Coach Hancock, the hitting coach, Coach Fitzgerald, I've laid out for them. So a lot to like with this group, and much like what I just said about football, you know, all the reason to believe that it just only gets better and better from here, because Fitzgerald's bought in big picture long term. He's only 45 years old. He sees this as a destination job, and man, he has shown in just 8 or 9 months of being in Lawrence that he can make Kansas almost instantly competitive. And you know, the start that they're off to, 5 league wins, 9 conference games in, it's the best start we've had in league play since 2014, and it's already more conference wins than we had all of last season. So that's the type of impact that we've seen here in the first 3 weeks of Dan Fitzgerald's Big 12 run.
Voice of the Jayhawks, Brian Haney, with us every Thursday, brought to you throughout the year by Anderson Insurance Agency. They do farm, home, auto, life, and crop insurance. Stop by and see Matt and Becky, 118 North Mill and Beloit, or call them at 738-5701. Of course, the women won the WNIT. I know it was disappointing when they lost to TCU in the Big 12 tournament, probably knocked them out of the big dance, but they made the best of their situation. They won all 6 games in WNIT, 25-11 overall, went 19-3 at home, and they got all kinds of talent coming back next year, so there's reason to be optimistic about the women's team too.
Yeah, no doubt. You know, it was disappointing that they didn't make the real tournaments, and when you're one of the first four out, essentially, you're a one seed in the WNIT or the NIT on the men's side, you know. And what's unique about the WNIT is it's a bidding process for hosting home games. And Travis Goff and Nicole Corcoran, our senior women's deputy AD, said, you know what, this is a team that feels like it belonged in the Big Dance. This is a team that we feel will largely be intact next year. We're going to make the investment to try to outbid the opposition for every single home game, to try to win this thing and get 6 additional games to build momentum for next year. And that's exactly what they did. I had a chance to be the voice of the women with Nate and Katie for about 10 years, 15 years ago, and we had a WNIT run in 2009 that ended up losing in the title game. But back then, we weren't buying every home game. This administration did, and I don't say that to take anything away from the fact that they won it, because, hey, you know, you line up and play wherever you're told to go. I say that to say there was an investment by the administration that thought, let's keep these girls together. Let's see if they really could do something special, not in the tournament they wanted to be in, yes, but make the most of these additional 3 weeks and go see what it could lead to next year and see what it could lead to in building excitement amongst the fan base. And so I love it that they bought all those home games, and for the championship game, you had nearly 12,000 on hand, and it saw the fan base, you know, get exposed to a program that's fun to watch. You got a superstar in Tyana Jackson, who had 22 double-doubles this year. She's coming back. Sakaya Franklin, Holly Kerskeeter, they've all announced they're coming back as well. So this core group will almost entirely be returning, and so your expectation goes from after – playing in the Big Dance last year, winning the WNIT this year. I mean, this is a second weekend March Madness team that would love to make an Elite Eight Final Four type run if they really, you know, do things the right way. So that's why I think it was important to make the most of the WNIT experience, and certainly they did that. So I don't know if we'll hang a banner or not. You know, it's a hallowed ground where typically only the NCAA titles and Final Four banners get hung. But there's a big trophy that literally is like 4 feet tall, and we're proud to have it. We're proud of these ladies and everything they did to really propel themselves into what I think could be a breakthrough, you know, program-defining type year in Brandon Schneider's tenure next season.
And, of course, the men, we talked about it last time we had you on, about having to hit the transfer portal. Bill Self said, I need to live in the transfer portal, basically. I think I read a deal the other day, 20% of all D1 scholarship players are in the portal, which is just an insane amount. So there's a lot of talent that is out there. Where does Kansas sit right now in regards to open scholarships? How many spots do they need to fill? And there's a possibility maybe more?
Well, at the time of taping, you know, we're still waiting to hear what Kyle Cuff is going to do. And, you know, if Kyle comes back to Kansas, then it's a three scholarship opening situation because we only have 12 to work with next year because of the self-imposed sanctions that Kansas put on itself. So, and that's assuming Kevin McCullough goes pro, by the way. Obviously, we'd love to give one of those three scholarships to Kevin if he wanted to reconsider, but the odds are more likely that he goes than he stays at this point. So you got three spots to fill. We talked last week about the need for two wing scorers, two great outside shooters, because you really have zero returning three-point prowess on this team. I mean, what Juan obviously can hit him, he shot at 41% this year, which is good, but that's a low, low, low-volume shooter. We're talking about replacing Grady Dick and guys like that. You know, from 2 years ago, you had Christian Brown and Ochai Agbaji. You need a pair of wing shooters. You need another back-to-the-basket big man with two of your center-slash-forwards departing in the portal, Cam Martin and also Zach Clements. So those are the three that you would fit primarily. And then if you had a four scholarship available, should Cuff decide to leave, then I think you just go best available at that point. You go most impactful, experienced guy that could step in and take you to a Final Four. So that's what Bill Self's out there trying to do. He is super motivated, as you alluded to. I think even 3 or 4 weeks away from the sport and the job he loves so much really invigorated and rejuvenated his passion. And so they're hitting it hard, and I would imagine we're going to start to see dominoes fall here real quickly with the way this portal recruiting class is going to come together.
And then you look at the schedule, and Coach Self mentioned this. I'll read what he said here from the banquet. We open up with Kentucky, then we go to Maui, and the Maui field is us, Tennessee, Syracuse, Gonzaga, UCLA, Marquette, who's going to be preseason number one in America, and Purdue. That's our Maui tournament. Then we come home, we play Connecticut, defending national champion now. Then we got Missouri at home. Then we go to Indiana. And then Houston comes into our league, and we play in the best league in the country. So the schedule's tough, and I expect us to win it again next year, end of quote. Now, that's obviously a confident statement, but you can back it up when you have 17 Big 12 titles and 20 years as head coach of Kansas. But that also says how confident he is that he's going to get dudes to come in and fill those spots that you're referring to. But that is Kansas doesn't duck anybody, and certainly you could argue that the difficulty of their schedule didn't help them as much as they had hoped, because they thought that'd be enough to be a number one seed in the Midwest. Instead, they went to Houston, but still, that usually primes Kansas to be a really good basketball team. They might take some losses here and there, but it helps them in the long run. But that's Murderer's Row, and that looks really tough, especially considering we don't know the spots that KU is going to fill.
Yeah, it's always a top two or three schedule nationally, but this year, this past season, it was number one strength of schedule. Next year shapes up to be number one strength of schedule. That's just the way Self likes to do it. And when you have pre-existing arrangements with the Champions Classic, which is going to always give you a top 25 opponent, and 2 years out of three, it's usually a top 10 opponent, you have pre-existing commitments to you know, the Big East, Big 12 Challenge, where Kansas is always going to get a marquee pairing because it's a made-for-TV event, just like the Big 12 SEC Challenge was. And then you add in, this is our year in the four-year rotation with Maui. And every, let's be clear, every Thanksgiving weekend or month of November holiday tournament that Bill Self signs the Jayhawks up for is always loaded with a great field. But Maui is the cream of the crop when it comes to that. And this is a historically great Maui field if you look at some of the early projected rankings. So, yeah, it's a murderer's row. But like you said, for him to say some of those confident words that he did, and I don't know when he said, I think we can win it, he's talking about the league, the national title, whatever. But he clearly is bullish, even though he only has four or five guys on the roster right now, outside of the freshman coming in, of course. But, you know, I'm reminded of, gosh, it was 2019. We just got ran off the floor by Auburn, and this was in the round of 32 out in Salt Lake City, and we're at the men's basketball banquet, and, you know, he says, hey, we're going to get guys. He's saying this to a ballroom of 300 people. He's like, fear not. You know, I understand right now there's some concern, but we're going to get guys. You know, it's late. We got some turnover, but trust me, this is Kansas. This is our staff that I believe in. And he went out, and one of the guys he got was Jalen Wilson in that spring recruiting class. He had opened up his recruitment again after a coaching change at Michigan, and this guy ends up being a first-team All-American by the time he wrapped up his career. He ends up being a national champion. You know, in that same class, you had Christian Brown, who was already committed, but they added Tristan Inaruna and Jalen Wilson late and all that. And so I'm just reminded of Bill Self has gone to the well in the springtime before and come up big, and that was before the transfer portal became what it is today. So it's exciting that we have these openings that we do. These were necessary departures, both for the young men that left to get more opportunity. Looks like Bobby Pettiford's going to get a great chance at East Carolina now, Cam Barton at Boise State. We're happy for them. We'll cheer for them. We love these guys. But Kansas needed better fits. This could be leaned upon for more. It's probably the least gifted bench we'd had since 2012 in terms of what you could entrust to them. And so I think this is an exciting time. And Bill Self, like a kid on Christmas morning, if you give him three or four spots to fill with the numbers you just quoted of 20% of college basketball being in the portal. You know, just the other day, Texas had a top five wing scorer, and I say top five, he was five-star freshman that decided to leave. And you take a look at some of the other targets, and again, I'm sorry, I'm not allowed to name names because I work internally, so we can't talk recruiting specifics, but there's real guys out there. Yeah. I mean, obviously, MJ Rice was a five-star that left Kansas. There's some dudes now, and the Hawks have already been having Zoom calls and some visits and all that, and we're excited to see what they reel in, because this is not a situation where you've got three to fill and you're kind of filtering through the scrap pile of, well, whatever's left, I guess we'll take the best of that. No, make no mistake, there are some prime-time four- and five-star blue chippers out there that not only look like great college players, but pro prospects as well. And so you'd love to see Kansas get one or two like that, and then one or two more that could still be high-impact guys off the bench. And so I think Coach Self is fired up, and it's like an NFL or MLB GM with a ton of money to spend in terms of salary cap. And I'm not saying Bill's spending money on NIL wise. Sure. I'm just saying, when those guys go about constructing their roster and they have openings and they've got a budget to work with, it's like, okay, here we go. In this case, his budget is he has three, maybe four scholarships to give late in the game, and he's chomping at the bit. Let's go shopping, to get these guys in here with those scholarship offers. So I think it's going to be an exciting couple of weeks, and this is our last report of the year, and definitely want to thank Anderson Insurance Agency for making these possible yet again. But the next time we talk, whenever that is, this Kansas basketball team is going to look vastly different. They're already being projected as a top 10 team by every early pre-top 25 ranking you see out there. But if Bill does what I think he's capable of doing, you could go from top 7 or 8 to top 2 or 3. And he said as much. He said that in his first press conference back a week and a half ago. So I'm excited and I'm optimistic, and I can't wait next time we talk, Wade, because I think we should be pretty bullish about Kansas and being right back in the thick of it if they land the guys I think they're capable of getting.
No, I agree with you as well. All right, time for the off-the-wall question, our final one until we talk to Brian later on this summer, more than likely, and into the fall. I came across this on social media. I never saw this when I was growing up. Might have been when I was so small, I don't really remember it. It really stood out to me. And it was roller derby. And this guy was just taking out people left and right. And I just laughed hysterically. I'm like, why don't we have that sport now? So the off-the-wall question, Brian Haney, what's a sport that needs to be brought back, or one that simply needs to be marketed better to where it becomes a mainstay in society? For me, roller derby, watching that, I was like, dude, I could sit there and watch that for a very long time, watching people take out each other, so forth and so on. Now, I don't want to be in there competing myself. I'm okay. I can't roller skate anyway. It doesn't matter. But it was very entertaining, a little bit that I saw. How about you? Have you ever thought about a sport that would just be really, really cool? Maybe it's something you play, maybe it's something you've seen, or maybe it's something that really doesn't get played anymore?
Well, half your audience will roll your eyes at this answer. The other half will chuckle. But I have attended the nation's famous hot dog eating competition in Coney Island. I've been there front row and watch these incredible athletes on display. And it's a little bit of tongue-in-cheek when I say that, but you know what? There's real training that goes into this, and it's not just starving yourself 2 days before. I mean, there's real training, and to watch the different strategy when you dunk and dip the bun in water to soak it up, and then chomp two hot dogs down like you're a rabbit chomping carrots. I've been there to witness it all. I've seen the spectacle that is Coney Island on the 4th of July, and the IFOCE, the International Federation of Competitive Eaters, are all on hand, and you've got rivalries within the sport and all that. It's a ton of fun, and the guys that host it on ESPN are ingrained and in tune with everybody there at the IFOCE and the World Federation of Competitive Eating as well, and they hype it up with a lot of hyperbole and a lot of joking, talking about comparing these athletes to Lance Armstrong or Tiger Woods or Michael Jordan. But the truth of the matter is, they do work at their craft. And while it may not be a sport per se, like we define sports with a ball or competitive teams, you know, working together with teamwork, it is something that if you ever have a chance to go see, it's worth getting up there. Admission is free. It's truly a spectacle unlike anything you've ever seen. Just make sure if you get there early enough to sit in the first two or three rows that you bring a raincoat.
Yes.
Because reversals do happen. And that is a technical term, a reversal. And you don't want to be downwind from a reversal when hot dog number 56 or 57 comes back out the other way, because that could be a pretty gruesome thing.
Yeah, it's a different type of reversal, isn't it?
Exactly.
Different type of reversal than wrestling. Man, yeah, I was thinking when you were describing that, being up close, I'm like, how close do I really want to be?
You know, it's funny, real quickly, I was there the year Kobayashi, who used to be the champion that was unbeatable until Joey Chestnut came along. I was there the year he had been banned from the event because of some qualification issue, and he tried to crash the party and climb up on stage. He got threw up against a chain link fence by security, and I was 2 feet away from him. It was crazy. So I wasn't close enough to get the reversal, but I was close enough to see Kobayashi get restrained and taken out of there. And again, that made it even more exciting that day. So I'm telling you, this is a sleeper of an event if you haven't seen it. And I'm sure most folks have seen the highlights. But if you ever get a chance to be out in the New York area on the 4th of July, Coney Island, 4th of July morning, it's something you got to put on the bucket list.
Was that on your bucket list? And then what, did you just make a special trip, or did you happen to be already in that in New York for that?
I happened to be up there anyway.
Okay.
But the person I was dating at the time, she knew that my dad and I always watched it every single year together. And so she's like, you know what, we can devote a morning to that. And so we got up at 6 a.m. and went over there and got in line. And literally, I mean, they line them up. I don't know how many tens of thousands of people there.
Wow.
But it's an amazing spectacle.
Wow.
And then you go to Nathan's afterwards and you have two or three dogs yourself and feel like you were part of it. So
well,
it's a pretty good time.
I'm just going to tell you, hot dogs, like right now, that doesn't even sound good to eat as you share the story. And after watching people and even possible reversals, the last thing I want to do is leave that place and go have a hot dog. I'm just telling you. That's the last thing I want to eat. It'd be something else, to be quite honest with you. Hey, man, we always enjoy your stories and answering off the walls. We never know where they're going to go. Most of the time, they go in a really, really funny or odd way, and that's why they're off the wall. We thank you for all your cooperation, your help throughout the season. It's been a great year for Kansas athletics. We touched upon many things that are still going on with KU. And then, of course, football looks to be going in the right direction. Of course, men's basketball is in great hands with Bill Self. It looks like has, you know, overcome his health scare that certainly was scary at the time, but he sounds very confident he's gonna be back and ready to go full metal to the pedal. So it's been a really great year. I know it's not a national championship year like it was last year for the men's team, but there's a lot of things for Jayhawk fans to be thankful for. And I will say this once, and I've said this a million times, Jayhawk fans are extremely spoiled, and that's a compliment. That's a good thing, because you've got some great programs and got some great coaches and great spots, and you also got a great play-by-play announcer that will share with you all kinds of information every week throughout the state on various radio stations, including ours. So, Brian, I know you have a busy schedule. We certainly appreciate you taking the time. I hope it lets up a little bit so you can enjoy some free time and, you know, go watch whatever sport you want to watch. We appreciate you, man.
Hey, appreciate you, brother. You're right. I do a lot of these every week, but this is always my favorite one, with the off the wall and the great insight that you bring as well. So I look forward to these every single Thursday. I appreciate you guys having me. And again, thanks to Anderson Insurance Agency for sponsoring us. Let's be back for more great reports next year. We are spoiled. Let's keep it that way. Let's keep on winning. And thanks again, my man. Appreciate you greatly. Have a great summer.
You too. That's Brian Haney, the voice of the Jayhawks, brought to you, as always, as Brian just said, by our friends at Anderson Insurance Agency. They do farm, home, auto, life, and crop insurance. Stop by and see Matt and Becky, 118 North Millen Beloit, or call them at 738-5701.